like, just we've been doing that with Everett now. So this one is just like, you know, oh, you're sinning because of your sinful heart. And I'm like, ha! And point is like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So that's been good. Just, starting that early and pointing to where the issue of real issue is.
That's great.
It's been, I started being more diligent about taking our kids to their bedroom whenever disciplining them.
Okay.
So it's been, like, with our younger one, then I really noticed the difference. But with my daughter, noticed the difference in, like, you know, whenever she would do something bad before, she would have, like, almost an immediate, like, you know, and
cower.
Cower, yeah. You know, in the moment. Whereas, like, now she's, this maybe is not the best thing, but she's less, you know, like, afraid in the moment and more like, you know, as we're going to the bedroom, like, oh no, I'm going to get disciplined. So, that's, I don't know. I feel like that's a positive move because I don't want my kids just to be, like, scared around the house all the time.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Who else? Every head down, every eye closed. That's funny. Don't pick me. Don't pick me. Steve, you're making eye contact. Come on, bro.
It's been a convicting encouragement in just the class in general. Just a good reminder of the intentionality needed. It's really easy. And even going back to the first couple of classes, lessons, whatever you weren't talking about, or anything, but just like prioritizing our relationship first, and just there's a lot of encouragement to take. A lot of lessons, small little lessons out here and there. One thing about attending worship, I thought to do something like that would just incorporate it would be a drastic upheaval of the routine. And kids bounce, man. They're very resilient, and they pick up on it pretty quick to the point where it doesn't take but a couple days, and they're reminding you.
Yeah.
And they're not very old,
you know?
So, it's good.
That's great.
I think one of the things that was helpful, I think it was during the talk, was, this was with specifically the family worship, but just, I think, parenting in general, too, was, don't let your kids get out of the house and then have regrets because of something you did or didn't do. And that's been helpful just in, like, I mean, even in discipline, more consistent to discipline or, like just, discuss or not talk about their hearts instead of just their actions. And like, with family worship and even with, like, praying together, more than just one time in the day or whatever, or you read our Bible 2 times a day, and that's good too, just things like that. I think it's been helpful just to think about it with that in mind. So it's been helpful for me just to, because I think it's easy in at least in the days of our kids, it's just like we're just trying to get day by day off. But that's a bad perspective to have, is to just make it through the day. So that's been good for me.
Good.
For us, it's been communication, not just between me and Cassie, but Dana and Bo, too. As far as, I think, like before this, I would expect them to know not to touch the sound equipment in the Grace Life room, right? And so instead of just expecting them to know, taking them over and communicating, hey, you touch this, you're going to get inspected. And that's the way it goes. And to a point where even Bo, at 16 months, would walk by and look at it and point and then just shake his head. Communication has just been kind in our house because they know the expectations. I know, like, hey, I didn't actually say anything about that. That's my fault. And so just trying to be upfront and clear helps them and it helps me too.
Good. That's great. Thanks for being willing to share. I think it's encouragement to all of us to know that we're in it together and things that we can share with one another to encourage one another. I know even just the last couple weeks for Julie and I to sit out there with you guys to hear Stefan and Bart was a blessing for us. I know that the topics they taught on don't necessarily hit personally for all of us, but they hit the life of our church. And so it's good for us to be aware of those things. I heard some things from Stefan that I didn't know about Stefan. So even for me, you know, it's just good to hear his heart, where he comes from. And I hope if anything, it just encourages you guys that the pastors of GBC are just normal, everyday people who struggle with the same things that you struggle with. You know, our lives look very similar to yours, the day in and the day out. So I was really blessed by them and thankful for their willingness to teach. I'm going to teach tonight on the family and the church, and then for the next several weeks, we have some others teaching as well. Chad Gilbert, after next week, we have the break next week, he's going to teach on the family and finances, and then Grant is going to teach a couple nights on parenting teens, and then Pastor Goldfield is going to do a night on parenting unsaved adult children, and then the last two evenings, we'll have a Q&A with some empty nesters from the GBC faithful. So I think that'll be a special time as well. So still trying to put that panel together, but I've got a couple of couples that have committed to it, and I know they'll be a blessing to us. So let me pray for us, and then we'll jump in. Father, we're grateful for the privilege that it is for us to gather as the church this evening. Thank you that in this a little bit more laid back and intimate setting, that we can just talk about life together, that we can encourage one another, that we can know that we're in the struggles together and the joys together. And you know that this is good for our hearts. So we pray that as we look at your word tonight, your spirit would give us wisdom, that you would put conviction upon our hearts of what our family life in relationship to the church should look like. We thank you for the body of Christ. We know that this is a blessing. We know that you have set up the church in a way because we need it. We need one another. So I pray that as we look at this topic tonight, that it would be good for us and that you would receive praise and honor and glory from us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I got this like dry cough this week that is just killing me. So if I'm coughing all night, I'm sorry. I will try to suck on cough drops as much as I can. I just hate that. All right. Parenting. What do I say on the top of there? God's call to faithfulness, not perfection. Yeah, I don't have it with me. Thank you. I hope that continues to resonate in your heart and in your mind as we go throughout the next several weeks. You can see in your notes that it's the family and the church tonight. No matter the season of family life that we find ourselves in, we all need the church. God has designed the church in such a way that we all benefit from it, living life together as one body in Christ, needing one another, serving one another, caring for one another, holding each other accountable, loving one another, growing together, worshiping together. I'm encouraged that you all are making church a priority. It's evident that you're here on a Wednesday night, Grace Family Night. You're here to be with the body. Julie and I have been here at GBC for almost 21 years. It's hard to believe that we've been here that long, but this is where we have raised our family. Our kids have grown up here. We've started sending our kids away from here. That's pretty crazy too. But I can honestly say that I don't know where we would be today were it not for the blessing that Grace Bible Church has been in our lives. This church family has walked with us through our highest highs and our lowest lows. And this church has become our life, and for that I'm forever grateful to the Lord for his kindness and his faithfulness to us. It's my desire this evening to challenge you to continue to make church a priority in the life of your family. So I want to start by asking you, what is your conviction about church in relation to your family? How high of a priority should church be in your life? How often should you be here? What should you do when you are here? These are some of the questions that I want us to be thinking about as we move through the evening, and I hope to help you answer as well. So we'll start with that first bullet point that you see in your notes. Bless you. It should be your desire, believer, to gather with the church. Gather with the church. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I fear that it's one small compromise after another that leads ultimately to a neglect of meeting together with the church. Does your heart rejoice with gladness and anticipation of gathering with God's people for worship? I can remember something that one of the previous pastors here, when he was discipling me, said. He said, "Sunday morning begins on Saturday night." And what he meant is that we need to be preparing our hearts ahead of time for the gathering of God's people on Sunday. It really resonated with my heart at that stage of life. Don't do things till late Saturday night, distracting your heart and your mind from what is coming the next morning. So let me ask you, how do you prepare your heart for worship? How do you personally prepare your heart for worship? Do you eagerly anticipate gathering with your church family on Sundays to worship God? Do you reflect that eager anticipation in how you live your life on Saturday, and the day before that, and the day before that? Are you glad for the gathering of the church? I love what David says in Psalm 122, verse 1. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Is this true of you? It's so easy for us, as our lives get busy, we get distracted by the things of our family, to not spend any time before Sunday morning preparing our hearts to be with God's people, to sit under the teaching of God's word, to give from cheerful hearts that are full of gratitude and thanks for what God has blessed us with, to come to church with a heart that desires to give instead of receive, to serve rather than to be served. So let me ask you again, how do you prepare your heart for worship on Sunday morning? What are you doing during the days leading up to Sunday that cause you to be glad in your heart to gather with the church? If we're being honest, most Sunday mornings for most of us, we're just thankful if we can get out the door and get here at some point, right? A lot of times. Sunday mornings feel chaotic. We have lots of distractions in our hearts and on our minds from the previous week and even the morning of. But is that all that the Lord expects, is for us to just get through the doors and get here? I would challenge you, dads and moms, to implement some things in the life of your family throughout your week to prepare your hearts for worship with God's people. Just a couple ideas that come to mind, some things that our family has tried to put into practice to help us prioritize the gathering. Just don't make it a regular habit to be out late on Saturday nights doing other things. It's okay to do something every now and then. But man, as you anticipate Sunday, get your family home. Get them ready for bed. Rest well so that you can come and not be dozing off all morning, right? Like, these things matter. Maybe you need to cut back on youth sports. Maybe some of you aren't in this stage yet, but this is going to be a temptation for you. We live in a day and an age where sports for young families have definitely taken a priority. And it's no longer just Saturday sports. Now it's Sunday sports. It's summer traveling, so you're gone for weeks. I'm not against sports. I've actually really loved watching my kids play sports. Hunter just played his very last high school basketball game yesterday, and that's sad. He actually made it to the state tournament this year. It was a lot of fun. Hunter has learned so much through sports. The Lord has really used it to develop character in his heart. So there, it's a good thing. God can use it as a good thing in our lives. And I'm sad to see it come to an end. But while we've enjoyed sports in our family, we've always told our kids that sports will never take the place of being at church. There's been a rare exception that one of our kids has had to miss a Wednesday night from time to time because of something sports related. But we've always had the conviction that Sunday is the Lord's day, and sports will never interfere with what God calls us to do as his people. And that's gather here together. Maybe you're in this season of life. Maybe your kids are involved in things like sports or drama or musical productions. Do you prioritize those things over gathering with God's people? If you're not in that season yet, I would encourage you to begin thinking and praying about it, because it will come for you. Make this something that you guys talk about together. Make sure that your convictions as husband and wife are the same. And I would strongly encourage you to make that conviction that nothing will come in the way of gathering with God's people on Sunday. Will you choose to make church a priority for your family? What example are you currently setting for your kids in the home? Does your family see you being glad to gather with the church? Parents, make this the conviction of your heart. Decide together that the church will always be one of the main priorities in the life of your family. Every opportunity you're given, that you'll be here. Let's hold each other accountable, as the writer of Hebrews exhorts us to. So it must be the conviction of your heart to gather with the local church. Number two, it must also be the conviction of your heart to serve the church. To serve the church. Paul tells the believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. This is lengthy, but it's so good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Paul lays out for us in these verses the reality that each one of us, if we are a true believer in Christ, we need one another. We need one another. So look to the person on your right. And look to the person on your left. You need one another. We need each other. Paul says in verse 12, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 27, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Just as our physical bodies are made up of individual parts that all make up one body, so it is with the body of Christ. Every member of your body has its specific function and need. And if you were to be without one of the parts of your body, you would be missing what that body part contributes to your body as a whole. So it is with the body of Christ. Each one of us individually has our part in serving the body as a whole. You've been given gifts by the Spirit upon your salvation in order that you might use those gifts to serve one another. And if any one of us is withholding our spiritual gift from the life of the body, then the body as a whole is not able to function in the way that God has designed it to. So I want you to stop and think for a minute. How are you intentionally serving the body of Christ when we gather as a church to worship our God together? What gifts has the Spirit given to you that you are stewarding by serving those around you in the church? Maybe you're saying, I don't have the gift of teaching. What I have to offer doesn't really matter. Paul says to you, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Verse 16, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Did you know that God has gifted you just as he desired for you to be gifted? And he did that so that you would be able to serve the body of Christ in the unique and the specific way he has gifted you to serve the body of Christ. Do you believe that? You should. This is what he tells you. Maybe some of you are on the other side of the spectrum and you think that there are people within the body who don't have anything to offer you. Maybe for some reason you don't get along very well with a certain individual. You've done your best to separate yourself from them so you don't have to interact with them. Paul says to you in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Paul reminds us that every individual part of the body of Christ has its specific God-given benefit to the body as a whole. Each one of us individually need each other. We cannot say that we don't have a purpose, and therefore we don't need to serve. We cannot say that we don't need one another. So what is your gift? And how are you using that gift for the good of the church? Are you serving? Or do you come to church only to be served? I can remember years ago, the same pastor discipling me challenged me with that. And the Lord used him to help me see that the purpose of church isn't for me to come and sit in a chair and only be fed. That's definitely one of the great benefits of the gathering, to feast on the Word of God together, to be taught, to receive instruction. But one of the primary functions of the church is for us to gather so that we can serve one another. Because this is what God has created us for and designed the church to be, there's much joy and there's much gladness that comes with serving each other. I think oftentimes we're not glad to gather, as David talks about, because we don't gather with the intentional purpose to serve. There's much joy in serving. Are you closely knit to the body in such a way that you can say, along with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And we understand the purpose of the church as God has clearly laid out for us in his word. And we realize our individual purpose within the church as God has specifically gifted us. I believe this will be true of our heart. When we see another member of our body suffering, we will hurt alongside with them. When we see a member of our body being honored, we will be able to rejoice alongside with them. So, how are you serving the body of Christ on a regular basis? Are you serving? How are you using the gifts that God has given you by his grace so that you can intentionally serve his body? If you already are serving in some capacity, thank you. What a blessing to the church. This is what you were called to do. If you aren't serving, it's my hope and prayer that you would be convicted from these words of Paul to you through his letter to the Corinthian church that you need to start serving. You were saved to serve. I would encourage you, if you have children, just begin serving where your kids are. There's always a need in kids' ministry for more teachers and more helpers in the classrooms. I love to see husbands and wives serve in the classrooms together. I think it's good for the kids to see men leading, men teaching. But there's also that special and unique ability that women have been given to be mothers, to corral a classroom, to command the kids' attention, their creativity. But it's just good for our kids to have husband and wife in the classroom together. Ladies, I know that once you become moms, you're required to serve in the nursery, but this shouldn't just be a requirement. See it as your ministry. See it as an opportunity that you've been given to serve the body of Christ. Julie served in the nursery for many years while her kids were that age. That was Julie's ministry. As our kids began to age out of Tiny Tots, Mighty Tots, she began to serve in other areas of kids' ministry then. So as parents, just commit to serving where your kids are. I think that's a great thing. It's a great way to serve. Maybe they won't see it as cool once they get to middle school and high school. Oh, Mom, Dad, what? Our kids wouldn't have wanted us in high school ministry, I don't think. But it's a very practical way for you to continue to be involved in the lives of your children and for your children to visibly see Mom and Dad caring for the body of Christ in a way that honors Him. Sorry. 20 minutes. There's a lot of needs in the church. If you guys aren't on the churchwide email, I would encourage you to be. There's a lot of needs that come up on the email that give you opportunities to see what's going on. You know that with all the ministry that we have, there's opportunities to set up and tear down for all sorts of different things. This is a great way for dads and their sons to come together, come serve the church together behind the scenes. Wednesday nights, we serve gobs of people. Maybe you need to serve on the Wednesday night meal team. There's many opportunities to serve. You've been saved to serve, and you're robbing the rest of the church if you're not serving. So first, we gather with the church. Second, serve the church. And third, worship with the church. Worship with the church. We're called to gather. We're called to serve. We're called, when we gather, to worship our God and King together as God's people. Do you take the worship of God's people seriously? Do you get here on Sunday in a timely fashion so that you're present, so that you're able to worship in our corporate gathering with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you see it as your personal worship ministry to teach and to admonish one another in the truth when we gather? Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Brent, would you want to read that for me, please? Colossians 3, 12 through 17.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Thank you. There are many different aspects of our worship when we gather as a church. Some things the Lord has laid out for us clearly in His Word, things that we're to incorporate in our time of corporate worship. And there are some things that have just grown through tradition and church history. Some of the different aspects of worship at Grace Bible Church is the reading of Scripture and also the proclamation of truth from the Word being preached. If you've been here for any length of time, you know that we hold a high view of the Word of God. And the preaching of God's word is the primary element in our corporate gathering. We believe that the Spirit of God uses the word of God in both the heart of the unbeliever as well as the believer, using His truth to save the lost and also to sanctify His own. Another aspect of worship in our corporate gathering is giving. Giving back to the Lord from what He has blessed us with. We realize that everything that we've been given is from Him. as God's people, we're exhorted to give back to him from what he has given to us, both generously and cheerfully. Another aspect of our worship on Sunday mornings is announcements. You're thinking, you can't worship with announcements. I believe we can. Do those times cause our hearts to rejoice and to give thanks for the work that God is doing in the life of his body and in our community? When we hear of a specific ministry that's happening in our church, do we prayerfully consider how we can take part in that ministry? When we see the announcement of a new baby that's been born in our church family, do we praise God for another soul that he has created in his image for his glory? Don't let the announcement time make you think that we're pushing pause on worship just to get some things out of the way. It's an opportunity for you to worship. How about the meet and greet? Can we worship God in these 2 minutes? I think we can. Something we've talked about recently in our grace group, I asked them, what do you do during the meet and greet time? Is it just a race around the worship center to see how many hands we can shake in the span of 2 minutes? Or do you intentionally look for someone who you don't know or someone who maybe looks new to Grace Bible Church? Go up to them and ask them a few questions about themselves. Show interest in their life. Maybe even just spend the whole 2 minutes talking to one person. Bryant, you laugh. You should try it. I believe that we can even use the time of meet and greet, 2 brief minutes in our corporate gathering, to worship God and to care for his people. Another aspect of our worship, the part that is dear to my heart, is the lifting of our voices in song together, the corporate singing of God's people. This is not talked about a lot in the New Testament. These verses that we read from Colossians 3 as well as Ephesians 5 are the only 2 places in the New Testament where we see singing mentioned in the corporate gathering of the church. But those 2 places are significant. The Apostle Paul tells us here in Colossians 3 that we are to allow the Word of God to penetrate deeply within our hearts. He says, dwell in you richly. And this is done both through personal time, studying and meditating upon God's word throughout the week. And it's also done when we gather corporately to hear the word of God preached to us. And he says, if we allow the word of God to dwell in us richly, then when we are together as God's people, we're able to teach and admonish one another when we sing songs of various kinds. He specifically says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So the question can be asked, are you allowing the Word of God to deeply dwell within your soul? And if you are, then do you view the corporate time of worship and song when we're gathered together as an opportunity for you yourself to teach and to admonish those who are around you? When you're singing, you're not only singing to the Lord, but you are singing to and for those around you as well. It's important that our songs be full of rich and deep theological truth, knowing that it's the truth of God that transforms the hearts of God's people. So do you sing? I asked you this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about family worship. Do you sing? With full heart and full voice when we were worshiping together. If you are born again, and if the Word of God is dwelling richly within you, then you have a song to sing. Paul says at the end of verse 16 that we are to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Are you thankful for what God has done for you in your salvation? Are you thankful for the blessing upon blessing that he has bestowed upon you in Christ? Are you thankful for your church? Are you thankful for your family? Are you thankful for the Word of God that's been preserved throughout history that we get to hold in our hands today? Are you thankful for the songs that have been written in centuries past, as well as the songs that continue to be written today that are a blessing to the life of the church? Friends, we have so many reasons to be thankful as God's people. And the overflow of our gratitude and our thankfulness to God should be to open our mouths to sing His praises. And while we do that, to teach and admonish one another with the truth. We gather with the church to serve the church and to worship with the church. And last this evening, I want to challenge you to prepare the next generation of the church. Prepare the next generation of the church. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. I'll begin in verse 24 just for the context. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Verse 28, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Paul is exhorting the believers in Colossae, the Colossian church, with this personal ministry. Do you view this as your obligation, as your duty, as a follower of Christ, as a believer, to proclaim Christ, to warn and to teach with wisdom, with the goal that everyone would come to full spiritual maturity in Christ? Paul says that this is the task of every believer. This is our responsibility. Parents, we've already talked about the need that each one of us has to serve one another as the body. But I want to encourage you with this last point, that while we do need to be serving the church, finding ways to use our gifts to benefit the body, the ministry that God has specifically given us as parents are the souls of our children. And I want to challenge you that your ministry to your kids does not stop when you come to church. You should desire to be involved in the ministry to your children, even when we are gathered here for corporate worship. You should be asking your kids what they're learning in their classrooms on Sunday mornings when you get home. You should be aware of some of the struggles that might be taking place for your children when they are absent from you, when they're here at church in their classrooms. You should desire to be involved. It should be your desire to use these as opportunities to teach your children, even while at home during the week, to be helping them. I encourage our teachers to talk to you when there's specific issues that may be going on in the classrooms with your kids. It's good for you to be aware. It's good for you to be involved. It's an opportunity for you to parent your children, for you to realize that you, mom and dad, are the primary means that God uses to train your children in the Lord. The church comes alongside you to help you and to reinforce these truths that you're hopefully teaching at home, but ultimately it's your responsibility to teach them and to train them. I know that we have a lot of things to offer kids when we gather on Sundays and Wednesdays, but as your pastor, I would always want to encourage you that it's good for you to have your kids with you for worship from time to time. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with you coming on a Sunday saying, I want my kids to sit with me today in big church. This creates a great opportunity for you to help train your children while at church. But if you're going to do that, then you need to come prepared for that. Because we know it's hard for a kid to sit through a 50-minute sermon, right? If your kids are younger especially, they're going to have a hard time paying attention. So bring things for them to do. It's okay for them to have activities to do during that time. There's nothing wrong with that. But make sure that it's not their loudest toys, right? If for some reason they need to be taken out because they're being loud or disruptive, that's okay. There's space in the foyer. We even have what we call a quiet room now on the edge of the foyer. You can sit in there. The service is live streamed, right, Corey? You can just sit in there. But I would encourage you not to take your kid into the foyer or the quiet room just so they can be crazy. But be intentional to sit them down. If they need time to calm down, that's fine. But sit them down and talk to them. Teach them. Train them. And then take them back into the worship center and let them try again. If your kids are older and able to write and pay attention to the sermon, it's a good idea for you to have them take notes. But maybe you should be modeling this for them as well, right? It helps me to take notes. I pay attention better. It helps me recall to mind the things that I'm being taught. Have you guys seen the Fellowship Sunday that's coming up at the end of March? Do you know why we're doing this? Because I told Bart, I want families to be able to worship together. So we're going to let you worship together with your kids. Okay? Some of us send our kids to the classroom out of guilt. The classes are offered, so we feel like we have to send our kids there. Some of us send our kids to the classroom because we need a break. And I know it can be easier for us to pay attention when we don't have the distraction of our kids next to us. But parents, we need to see it as our responsibility to prepare the next generation of the church. To first know God and to love God, but that it would also be their desire to gather with the church, to serve the church, to worship with the church, and then for them to prepare the next generation of the church. I've met with parents over the years who have had a hard time getting their teenage children to come to church with them. And I don't say this to pat myself on the back, but we've never dealt with this personally as our kids have gotten older. And I truly believe that if we as parents are prioritizing these four things that we've talked about tonight and modeling it well for our children as we raise them, then by God's grace, it will be their desire to do these things as well. We should not expect our children to love the church if we're not loving the church. So parents, make this your priority moving forward. Gather with the church, serve the church, worship with the church, and prepare the next generation of the church. Any questions? Pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your kindness that you have bestowed upon us. Just even as we consider the blessing of Grace Bible Church in our lives, you know that so often we push against the things that we need, that you have designed for us, that are good for us. Father, I pray that you would help us to be convicted tonight to see our desperate need for the life of the body, and that we wouldn't just be half-hearted in our effort to care for the church, to love the church, to be with the church. Thank you for the gifts that you've given us. I know that they are from you, but you have given those gifts to us to steward. And our stewardship is to serve the body with them. So I pray that you would help us to see the gifts, to use the gifts, and that it would benefit the body greatly. Ultimately, that would bring glory to your great name. And thank you for these individuals in here tonight, for their faithfulness to attend over the last several weeks, for the things that they're putting into practice. I know that it encourages my heart to hear the things that they've been doing in their homes, and just pray that those would continue, that you would continue to speak truth to our hearts, that you would transform us by your grace, that you would make us more like your Son. Pray that you would go with us from here, that you would be honored in our lives in these days to come. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all.